Hey, welcome back to Brand New Techish. Producer Ryan here again, as Michael and Abadesi are on holiday this week. As promised, we have some clips from the first Techish live show, which was awesome, and we're really excited to share it with you. As it was a few weeks back, some of the stories are oldish, but I'm sure you'll want to hear Michael and Abadesi's take on it all. We'll be back with more clips next week. Please enjoy, and remember to support the show on patreon.com/techish. Let's go!
Welcome to the first ever Techish Live! Broadcasting from Tech Hub, Silicon Roundabout, heart of London's tech scene.
Don't know.
It is me, your host, Abadesi.
And your co-host, Michael Behane.
Thought we might just start by reflecting a little bit on the Techish journey. You know, we weren't always the number one tech podcast in the universe. Yeah. There was a time when Techish was just an idea that Michael had to start a podcast about tech. By people like us. Fast forward a year and a half later. I'm looking at Michael for
reference.
Dreaming in the background.
Make your way in, please, people.
Hey, everyone.
Make your way in. Grab some seats if you can.
Get a refreshment at the back. Grab a seat. So what started as an idea Michael had about a year and a half ago to make a tech podcast for us, by us. Fast forward a bit in time. Got listeners across 5 continents all around the world. Tens of thousands of downloads every month, and we are just so grateful to get a chance to meet you in real life. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Hands up if you've been a Techish fan from day one.
You listened to the first episode. Come on, keep it real. Don't lie to me. Oh, raw. There we go. My brother's lying at the back. That's a lie. I have to beg you to listen. Don't try it.
Hands up if you have never heard Techish.
Who's brand new? Who's a newbie? See, this is what you call customer acquisition. Amazing.
I like that. I like that.
We're going to grow the audience. I love it.
That is commitment. Okay, awesome. Well, yeah, you know, Tech is a weekly show where we cover the intersection of tech, pop culture, and life. We don't hold back. We have a very socially aware audience, and we want people to think more consciously about the relationship they have with tech and the impact it's having on our society. So yeah, make sure you subscribe if you don't already.
Yeah, so should we get cracking with the first story?
Let's do this.
First story. It feels so strange, right? The intro music.
I know.
That's my jam. Cool. So the first story I want to talk about is the whole Instagram removing likes. So they're testing it out in the USA now. It's been tested out in a few other markets.
There goes my influencer income.
Boy, that's the problem, isn't it? People are saying that you're going to deprive influencers of a chance to prove their engagement. Mm. So essentially, if you've got 1 million followers and I see that you got 100 likes, I can tell that you've bought your followers. So I'm not really, as a brand, looking to work with you. Mm. So if that's hidden now, it does kind of make it harder for influencers to kind of secure the bag. The actual reason that was given is mental health. Mm-hmm. You look a bit skeptical.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing, right? Like, I can't forget the fact that Instagram is owned by Facebook, which has hardly been like the most innocent big tech company of the last year, right?
Who was at Facebook here, actually? All right, cool. That's good. Come on.
Yes,
but they actually DM'd us as well recently, so we're going to, you know, you might be hearing us talking about how much Facebook is wonderful. So anyway.
But yeah, like, don't get me wrong, on this show we have literally spoken about the fact that social media companies should take more responsibility for the way individuals interact with their products. Like, we've talked about the fact that, you know, product managers go in there trying to design something that's going to be addictive. Now all the research is out there linking social media usage to anxiety and depression, and it's great that tech companies are responding with this front of, well, here are the measures that we're taking to make our products less evil. The thing that I think is a bit suspicious and shady about this.
You can swear, you know, don't worry.
Shady about this. Is the fact that, like, I actually have an intuition that they are hoping that by removing likes, people will post more.
That's what I'm thinking.
And bear with me with this, Like, I feel like likes now are such a currency that people are reluctant to post anything unless they can guarantee it's going to get them likes. And I'm not even talking about influencers.
I'm
just talking about ordinary people with fragile egos, right? So I feel like a part of it was like, let's remove likes so that we get more posts, we get more engagement, because of course that's going to be a success metric.
So quick question. Have you ever reposted something because you're like, it's not getting the engagement, it's not getting the likes that I require? Have you ever done that? I'm guessing no.
No, but I wish I had. That's smart. Has anyone done that?
Has anybody ever done that before?
Okay.
The selfie weren't connecting like that. Okay, fair enough. No, I've done that for my company. So for business, you've got to. If it's not connecting and it's not getting the likes that you think, you're like, all right, cool, let's repost this again. But I think when you've got young people, impressionable minds and that, and you're like, my selfie's not really getting the love, I don't think that's a good place to be in.
What do you think about the fact that some folks are saying the reason Instagram are doing this is to have more ownership over data that drives marketing budgets, i.e. Right. they will be the only way to access information around influencers and influencer marketing.
Right. Essentially, use our ad network, don't go to the influencers directly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Nicki Minaj came out and said that, and I think there is a modicum of truth to that. I think it all can be true. I think they're probably thinking mental health, we'll get some good publicity. We've been run through the mud right now as a company, so we look good. We get our ad network to look stronger, so people be like, yo, we can't really connect with these influencers, let's just post directly to Instagram as an ad, and all of the above. So it's a win-win for them. So that's why I think they probably sat around in the boardroom and was like, okay, cool, where do we lose?
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, apparently they spoke to Kim K and a few like prestige influencers.
Is she on the board of Instagram
basically,
now?
She might as well be. Now she gets a million a post, come on, fam.
Okay, true.
She better
true.
Be. So lost my train of thought. Yeah, so I think it's all of the above, and I think it's a pretty savvy move. So I want to ask, who doesn't like it? Raise your hands if you don't think it's a good idea. One dude.
One hand.
Okay. One dude. All right, cool. So everyone's in favor of it. All right, cool. Fair enough. That's interesting.
Do you think that, hands up if you feel like you would post more if there are no likes on your Instagram profile? Wow. Okay. Raise your hands if you feel like this change would not impact your behavior on the app at all.
Alrighty. There we go. Wow.
That's a frictionless.
You know what though? We got a mature-ish crowd though. You know what I'm saying? I rate you lot. You know what I'm saying? If this was Gen Z, like, it would be a different response. You know
young
what I'm saying?
Just,
listen, you got to compliment your crowd, you know. It's a good idea.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's a 101. Joking.
I'm so used to hating on you.
No, joking.
So, our next story is regarding Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Disney Plus, the latest streaming service to hit our markets, has already got over 10 million paying customers.
I'm on it. I swear to you.
Oh, you've already
Star
got
Wars,
it.
Marvel.
Pocahontas,
Disney back
catalog.
Come on,
Lion
and it's
King.
Cheap as well. You know, Netflix is now like, I'm getting an email every like month saying the price has gone up.
What?
With Netflix, are you mad? It's like £12 now.
Oh, I'm just surprised you had your own Netflix account because I'm using my mom's. No
There's
shame.
A couple people in here that are using mine. You know, so not long left. You
They're
know, I'm
down on that.
The price is going up.
And Netflix
months are split.
Down
you know, I'm saying,
that.
Come on, it's easy now. Now, what was I going to say? So I think it's a compelling offer though. It's cheaper. The back catalog is amazing. It's not out here yet in the UK. It's going to come out soon. We're always behind, unfortunately. Mm. And I'm kind of worried for Netflix. Not in a, you know what I'm saying? They'll survive. Mm. But as a company, I think a year ago, 2 years ago, I was like, their position is not insurmountable, but they were the disruptor. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's been very rare to see an old school company like Disney. It would be like if Addison Lee came through and started beefing Uber and doing it correctly.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Now Fair. Disney, the old school media company that was meant to be disrupted by the new young tech company, is like, no, we're going to come through and you get me, we're going to hold our own.
Yeah.
I've seen now that Netflix is now partnering with Nickelodeon.
Oh.
So it's chess, not checkers, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be like...
Okay then.
No, for real, it is though. So
I used to be obsessed with Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Bring so some of that Hey Arnold.
That's
yes.
what I'm talking about. That's yes. what I'm talking about. So they're going to work on old content and new content.
Okay.
So Hey Arnold might be coming back.
Man, my bank account is not happy. My brain is. But like, seriously, is this the future we're heading into? Am I going to have to invest in like 12 different...
So how many do you have now?
I have Amazon Prime Video, but that just comes with Amazon Prime.
There we go.
I have Mubi, which is like curated
so
indie film. What? Dude, it's only £9 a month.
Does anybody know what Mubi is? Have anybody ever heard of Mubi before? Okay, that's another bougie dude. I know that guy.
It's actually so good.
Explain what it is. Go on.
Okay, so Mubi is a subscription service, and the idea behind it is a curated selection of films. So these are like critically acclaimed independent films, foreign language films.
Bougie,
often they've
you.
Just been like released in the cinema. And the way that they get the distribution on their platform is by making it available for a limited time only. So like typically the films are only available for 3 months. But what's really cool about it is that with your membership, you also get 2 free cinema tickets for new releases.
Okay, that's not bad.
So
that's not
yeah,
bad.
That's pretty good.
Bad.
But yeah, so I've got that.
How much
I've got
is it,
Netflix,
by the way?
£9 a month or £8 a month.
Okay,
I don't
cool,
know.
Cool, cool.
I also have Netflix via parentals. so yeah, I guess that's 3. Netflix,
so you're gonna add Disney to
movie,
that roster?
Amazon. I mean, probably.
4? Yeah.
Not gonna lie. Honestly, the one I want is HBO though.
That's coming out.
That's
HBO
what
Max.
I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Apparently they're doing a Friends reunion. I heard. Don't quote me on that. I heard that.
On HBO?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they better bring a black friend in, otherwise I'm not watching that shit.
Well, we were talking about that.
Need some like hijabi friend.
There was
mix
one
it up.
Black character in the history of Friends. And they did that because there was a backlash back in the, you know what I'm saying?
This
is before Twitter.
And they like brought her on like all light skin with relaxed hair.
Do you know what I'm talking about? There was that one black woman who came in and
she
was Joey.
Ross.
And, yeah, she dated Ross
to
and
be
Joey.
Fair, at least she was a professor and not like the nail artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
at least
yeah.
they gave her a job.
Yeah.
They threw us that bone.
So who's willing to sign up to at least 4 or 5 streaming services or is one enough? Raise your hands if you do at least 4.
Dude, they're millennials now. Come on.
Times are hard. One person, I rate that. Anybody? Okay, so, all right, I think that's
fair. Well, to be honest, like, would you pay for ad-free YouTube?
So, you know what? Yeah. This is embarrassing. So I signed up for YouTube Premium. Now I'm keeping it real. There's, you know, YouTube Premium. You can do ad-free.
They have and you get premium content, original YouTube content.
I don't know how premium it was, but it was dead. So there's a show called Cobra Kai that was hard that I watched. It's a sequel to The Karate Kid. Okay. No one watched it but me. I'm trying
When did this show come out? The 80s?
No.
That movie's old.
It's got Daniel San and he's like 50 years old. It's amazing.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you. Anyway, so I signed up to
YouTube. Mr. Miyagi? Is he still in it?
No, rest in peace.
Okay, CGI.
Shout out to Mr. Miyagi. So anyways, I had it, right? But my problem is I watch YouTube while I'm working.
Right.
Sometimes, just in the background.
Okay.
And I found that the adverts was enough of a friction for me to be like, let me get back to work. But when I had ad-free YouTube,
you were not working with YouTube. Ain't nobody working with YouTube. You watch videos.
Do you know what you get as well when you have the YouTube Premium? I don't work for YouTube, by the way. It sounds like I do. You get the ability to watch YouTube on your phone without having to have the app open. So you basically becomes a music player. I should work for YouTube. I had that
maybe,
on the crowd,
maybe,
you know,
didn't know about that. Yeah, a lot of oohs and ahs.
I unsubscribed because I found it too addictive, actually. That was the first time I was like, yo, like,
it was too good.
Yeah, it was too good. It wasn't good, but I was addicted.
No, but what I mean is, like, if you think about it, YouTube wants you to stay on YouTube for as long as possible. That's why that algo knows me so well. Everyone knows this. You go on YouTube for like one jam, and then like 15 minutes later, you're like vibing. It's like a personal DJ. That shows how good their algorithm is.
And problem is as well is that people come out of that and all of a sudden they're in the KKK. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you mad? Have you not heard the whole situation?
What?
Obviously not people in this room. I'm talking about the fact, yeah, like, you might be in there, you might watch like a Jordan Peterson video, all of a sudden it's Ben Shapiro, all of a sudden, and then by the end of it, you're a Trump supporting, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, you go down a rabbit hole.
That's true.
And I lost a lot of people down that conspiracy theory rabbit hole.
It's maybe too good.
I know some YouTube scholars out here, come on. You know what I'm saying?
Bring them back from the trenches.
Anyways.
Wow.
So the Netflix thing, speaking of Netflix, what's the dude's name? I've forgotten.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about. He did an episode on, he's got like a, kind of like a John Stewart type thing, Asian brother. He does a show, Hasan Minhaj, there we go, terrible.
Thanks, audience.
Apologies. So anyway, he did an episode on Saudi Arabia and Netflix took it down. They were like, nah.
I remember that.
You ain't messing up our check. That's not happening. You know what I'm saying? That's real. So, the CEO, Reed Hastings, came out and said, listen, we're not in the truth to power business. We're in the entertainment business.
Okay.
So, and people were like, I can't believe it. Red Hair Ted, Bernie Sanders came out. I can't believe this. How dare you? Like, you can't silence American voices. Mm. And I'm like, are we still unaware of what these companies are? They're trying to make that money. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, why are we so societally confused about what these guys are? We still think that these, like,
but
cuddly teddy bears.
It's not our fault. All of these brands are going out there making us feel like we're part of a community. We're family. They're looking after us. They're like sending us Christmas cards, telling me it's my birthday. I get 10% off. They're treating me like they are a person. They've personified themselves. And like most human beings have a conscience. Mm. So it's not our fault if we suddenly start expecting companies that act like human beings to have a conscience, right? Like they're supposed to have values. I'm sure if you walk into Netflix right now, there's going to be some like company values poster in the sitting area that's going to be telling you about how much they care about empathy and whatever, honesty and transparency and la-di-da. Mm-hmm. And I think like, okay, yeah, of course, they are optimized for growth and profit first and foremost. But at the same time, it feels a bit duplicitous to like pretend to have values as well and then like not at least be open to having a dialogue about the role you play as a media company.
So if you're the CEO of Netflix,
protecting free speech.
What do you do? I say to you, fam, the Saudis are not happy with this episode. You're dissing the leader. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do? You just kowtow.
I mean,
dollar bills, y'all.
I mean, I've never been in a position to make those kinds of decisions. But I'm just saying, like, it feels very blunt, especially in light of like the things that Saudi have been doing over the last year or so, to just be like not engaging.
So their argument was that there was a show called Sex Education.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love that show.
That show was dope, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
And they were like, well, listen, they let us play like these quote-unquote liberal shows. Mm. So we're kind of influencing globally the culture in a certain way. Therefore, we're doing our part.
Mm.
I'm not mad at it. I get it. I think like we're expecting too much from a for-profit entity. I just wish that we were more aware that these guys are just for-profit entities and they're not our friends. They're not,
yes.
You know I'm saying? And when you join them, you're not in a family. If you work there, like that's number one pet peeve. Like, oh, welcome to the family. No, we're not a family, fam. Because the family can't fire me. You see what I'm saying? They try, but they can't. You know what I'm saying?
But maybe it's also like another thing, right? Like if we think of like FANG, like the dominant tech companies in terms of like, so Apple. Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, if we think about them in the context of their market capitalization, their value and like they contribute to the world economy, you know, if we were to say that that was akin to GDP, these would be some of the most powerful nations in the world, right? Because we are living in a capitalist system. So can't we start having conversations with these so-called world powers about the influence they hold in the world, potentially even in geopolitics, and try to like hold them accountable to making the world a better place? Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, but there are countries and then there are countries. Not every country is necessarily going to have the same laws, right? So China might be like, yeah, you can prosper here, but you can't say this.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So them as a country, they might be like, yo, we can make money and you can, you know, enjoy our products and whatnot, but there's
but
a line that
American
we go by.
But they're an American company. But they're an American company. And they've been making us sip their Kool-Aid for ages. They've been flying around the world, starting wars, all in the name of spreading peace and freedom. And now...
Any Americans in the house?
And now they want to also profit on the
America.
Absence of freedom?
USA.
No, but like, what? Like, that to me is ridiculous.
No, like, I agree with you.
I just think it's crazy. Like, you know, they have to, like, draw a line in the sand somewhere. And they can't just, like, rub it out when they're like, sorry, there's money to be made here, so we don't care. No,
but I was going to say, like, they're not, in what sense are these companies tied to countries? They're multinational corporations. Do you see what I'm saying? I could buy a share in any of these companies. I'm not tied to the US state like that. These are multinational corporations owned by like shareholders from all over the world. Look how much Saudi money is in tech that owns Uber, for example. Like, in what sense are they tied? They barely pay taxes. So that's one thing out of the way.
Culturally.
Come on, man. They don't
mean that. No, but culturally they're tied to those countries.
Bro.
They don't have, like, they have the values, like, all the people that run that company, like, how can you say that? That's like such a flippant remark. Like, the tech industry that we live in has been, like, for the most part, grown out of US capitalist culture. Silicon Valley is the hub. Everywhere we go, people are emulating it and people are copying it. And there's this hyper-capitalist reality that we live in now as a consequence of those values.
Yeah.
Anyone who's spent a lot of time in America will immediately notice the difference between how one feels connected to a community there versus how one feels connected to the community, let's say, as a citizen of Europe, you know, Brexit to one side. So I do think, like, the countries that a company is based in absolutely determine the way that company will operate and, like, even brand itself and operate in the world.
I don't think it's the most important thing anymore. It's still important and it's still relevant, but I think... You know, the last 30 years, just the way capitalism has developed, I think it's become less important. So I saw kind of some disturbing news. So is everybody familiar with actor James Dean is? He's been dead for a long time. Pretty boy, looks like James Franco kind of, but he's been dead for years. So anyway, there's a film coming out and the filmmakers were like, yo, you know who's perfect for this role? James Dean. It's a shame he's dead. Let's look for somebody else. Then they
just
were like...
Another excuse to not cast a black person.
There we
honestly.
Go, trust me. So then they were like, yo, we can't find anybody that's perfect for this role. Let's hire James Dean. So this ain't, you know, it's not juju or nothing like that. They're going to basically use CGI and bring him back. So the agent who is in charge of all these, like, dead, you know, actors, artists were like, yo, this is a fantastic opportunity for our partners who are no longer with us. That phrase. So how do you feel about that? Because this is the thing. So I think the people that own the estate of, like, James Dean, right, he's been dead for a long time. So now it's probably his grandchildren. And they're like, we just want to check. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the kids would be like, I don't want to see daddy on TV, like, no more. Come on, allow me. That's disturbing. But his grandkids now, that like, well, the estate isn't really bringing as much as it could. We could do with a fat check. Let's just milk him and get him in a film. Like, right.
If you had
know,
a
like,
famous relative that you could resurrect.
Depends if I like them, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it real.
So if you didn't, you'd do it.
Yeah, I probably would. I don't have any moral, like, thing against it. Interesting
against
enough,
making money.
Yeah. Take us 2089. You're gonna see us out here, bro. Tory for life.
Donald Trump. Just be like, doo doo.
So, like, is it creepy? Is that creepy? Would you not watch a film with a dead actor? Hands up if you have no problems watching that film. You got no problem watching that film.
Yeah, I was gonna say Star Wars.
Oh, you're right. But it didn't look good.
And Fast and the Furious. That was mad trippy.
But that's
Paul
different because it was like they had filmed most of the film. He passed away, unfortunately. I don't know, man. I mean. It does open a realm of possibilities now where obviously you're going to see a Michael Jackson tour. You're going to see...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like, so you're going to see... I know Prince actually came out and was like, don't bring me back.
How can you enforce that?
No, because as a Jehovah's Witness, he was like, don't bring me back. To him, it was demonic. He was like, I'm not on this, don't try it.
But how can you enforce that?
And people were cussing JT, you know, Justin Timberlake, when he did the Super Bowl, because he brought him back and he put like the big giant picture of Prince. And a lot of his fans were like, yo, that's not what my man was on. So that's a tangent, but... But it goes to show that some people are not going to be on it. some people are just like, that's not for me. But I guess the audience don't give a damn. You lot are just like, yo, man, show me the film.
Like, I mean, I remember going to Coachella when like Tupac came on stage. And, like, everyone was just like, it's Pac! I knew he wasn't
there. Did it look real?
It did, actually. It did. To be fair, it did. But I was like, what is this? This is crazy. But everyone around me was like, Pac's back. Oh, my God. I mean, to be fair, like, if anyone's seen the end of the new Blade Runner, you know, he goes yes. to that hotel. And right. then there's the Elvis hologram performing. Right. And it looks super realistic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about that is kind of cool, actually. Like, there are so many artists that we wish we could have seen live. Jimi Hendrix, etc. And if someone could, like, bring it back like that, like a fully immersive experience, that would be dope.
You know what? I had tickets to the This Is It concert, Michael Jackson, right?
You did? Yeah.
And would I go to a Michael Jackson concert? That's the thing.
Well, not maybe allegation, not now.
Signs allegations. Signs allegations. Signs allegations.
They'll be staring
honestly.
At you.
I don't know.
Michael was named after Michael Jackson. No, but I feel like anyways. If you were pedo police, you'd just be going to Michael Jackson concerts looking for creepy guys.
But you know what? That was actually the most controversial part of Tekish. Like, as in, I still get harassed to this day because I was because
really?
We were like, oh, come on, MJ, man, like,
can't let him go.
I can't support this no more. Like, I'm keeping it real, and I got like tweets, and it was like a diehard fan,
wow.
and they don't engage anymore. So I'm thinking they've checked out.
Oh wow, okay.
So we're not going to talk about Michael Jackson. We love him. Anyways,
MJ fans are right a day.
Yeah, trust me.
While we're on the topic of music, shall we talk about Tyler, the Creator's special guest earlier this week?
He's gonna
got a very warm reception. He's here!
No, don't boo. So Drake, basically, if you don't know, Drake came out and for Tyler, the Creator's concert, and it was a special guest. The fans were under the impression that Frank Ocean was coming out. There was a rumor, you know what I'm saying? And then when Drake came out, he got booed, right? Yeah, you go watch it. Go on Twitter, YouTube, whatever, like... And you'll see, he's like, and he realizes, like, he's like, yo, like, he's trying to do like a call and like response, and it's not connecting. And he's just like, all right, I'm getting out of it. And he actually walks off, but he's taking it in good sports. He's actually said, like, yo, fans, I'm coming back there every year. I've signed like a lifetime deal. Like, he's just taking a piss. Like, and Tyler was really embarrassed of his fans. He was like, I'm so embarrassed by my fans right
now. Yeah, he did some all caps locks tweeting.
How are you gonna boo Drake? Who's gonna boo? I don't get it. I'm not saying he's everyone's cup of tea, but how are you gonna boo Drake?
Him.
We got some booze. We got some Drake booze in here. Come on.
Because he's not Frank. He ain't on
Lord
that.
Lord have mercy.
He ain't with
if Drake
screaming.
Came in, you lot would be screaming. That's a lie.
I would. Of course I would. Have you ever listened to the show, man? I'm a hypocrite. Obviously.
But you know what, though? What's the business lesson to that? Because every time on Tekish, we've got to take pop culture stories and we've got to apply the business principles. And to me, yeah, if you're in the wrong room, it doesn't make a difference who you are.
Mm.
It might not connect. So you could be pitching to investors and your product could be Drake and they're just like, nah, it's not for us, we don't get it. Like Tristan Walker, the CEO of Bevel, sold his company, he basically was like, I was pitching to these predominantly white investors and they were like, I don't get the problem you're trying to solve.
Yeah.
He went to like 50 investors and it wasn't connecting. So sometimes being in the right room is so important and you end up thinking, trust me, listen, we got deep on Tekish, isn't it? Trust me. So being in the right room is... It's the difference between, like, you know what I'm saying?
But
succeeding and success and failure, 100%.
The thing is, that's not actually the lesson that I took from that.
Go on, talk to
that
me.
Is a valuable lesson, don't get me wrong. But for me, I feel like this is a lesson in managing expectations.
That's another
if
one.
If people are expecting Frank Ocean and you serve them up a slice of Drake, they are going to be disappointed. They're not even, like, similar. Like, I don't know. Okay, yes, they're both black men, but, like, that's kind of where it stops. You know what I mean? And I think that's almost the kind of thing where, like, rumors can kill you, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like, let's say you have, like... Well, the new Apple Watch is gonna come out with blah 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 blah, and then it drops and it doesn't have half those features. You're dead
and
in the water.
And it's the same damn iPhone
and
every year.
And you know what? Competitors use rumors to kill other competitors.
How so?
You can put fake rumors out there. I could be like, "Yo, Michael's about to like release a rival podcast. He's already secured Arlen Hamilton, Tristan Walker, all the top CEOs and founders." And you like come on with like
well,
one of
you
your
say
bros.
That, actually, I'm an announcement to make. No, I'm joking.
But yeah, anyway, that for me was just like just manage expectations.
So the other pop culture thing I wanted to talk about. Do you know Summer Walker? Does everybody know Summer Walker? Whatever, like she's really dope, new musician. She's got like an R&B album out. It's amazing, but she actually is terrible live. So speaking on the topic of live shows, she can't perform live. She's really shy, right? And she had a US tour thing. In fact, she's got a really great song with Usher. It's really dope. It's like a cover of I forgot it. There we go. You make me wanna. So, anyways, thank you. That's why you're in the front row. I love it. So she's performing with Usher. I saw a video, like, and Usher's like, are you back there? Like, because you're just hiding, literally, right? Mm. So she's like, she's done a video. She's like, listen, sorry, fans. I got social anxiety. I can't do this. I refund all the tickets. Now, as a musician, like, the line of business that you're in now, you can monetize with album sales, but it's like, on the tour is your bread and butter. So it's like, my friend was telling me, he was like, well, is it a symptom of the fact that now we're getting a lot of YouTube stars? So a lot of people are popping off YouTube. You can sing amazing, you can write songs, it's great. But back in the day, it would be like, well, we saw him perform live, this person doing the circuit, they blew up that way. So it's just an interesting thing in terms of like how the kind of the internet can kind of impact an industry. And now you get somebody who can't even perform in front of people.
Yeah.
But the album is dope. I'm listening to this album all the time. Yeah. Like, you know,
but
what I'm
like, I guess being in the studio is very different to performing live. A lot of artists in like history have been devastatingly shy. I don't think that's like a new thing. Like that's probably like part of what makes their music so incredible. Like they share some kind of vulnerability that none of us would ever have the courage to.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember going to see like, does anyone know the artist Shura? Shura? Anyway,
I'm too bougie, man. No one knows these artists.
She had like posters in the tube. What are you talking about? Just because you don't know her. Anywho, I went to see her at Corsica Studios when she first came out, and like the live show was not very good.
Yeah.
But like now she's playing like stadiums and stuff.
Is so she
think like, yeah, well, she must be. She's selling out shows. All I'm saying is like, I guess like music labels put pressure on people to release albums because it's all about timing, blah blah blah. Maybe before they're ready to perform. So maybe it's about labels having a bit more responsibility for the holistic.
I feel you.
Package of their artist. You know, just because their album ready doesn't mean their performance ready.
That's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed that episode. As always, remember, guys, Tekish is on Patreon, and we'd love your support. Just search Tekish on Patreon or patreon.com/techish. Peace.